The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into a very busy edition of the Brad Sessmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy. I got a lot to get to today. Devin Henry going to be talking to Vince Welsh, Fox NASCAR and college basketball announcer, the Fan Shield 500 going on. We are in the spirit. I am wearing a racing helmet. It is Devin's. I popped it on 30 seconds before we went on air. It's kind of smelly. It's a little tight. I got a big head. I'm going to pop this off real quick. Woo! It was hot in there. All right. So got a lot to get to. As I said, Devin talking to Vince Welsh, Fox NASCAR and college basketball announcer, Fan Shield 500 this weekend. Have a lot of interesting things going on this week for the Arizona Coyotes, for NASCAR, and just a lot of, you know, the usual stuff going on as well. ASU and U of A men's wrapping up their Pac-12 schedules. The women's side of basketball has already wrapped up their regular season and will be headed to the Pac-12 tournament here shortly. And, you know, you have spring training going on. Madison Bumgarner making his second start today. I'll be out there checking that out. And then, you know, ASU football continuing to progress, as well as U of A. Grant Gunnell, you know, kind of taking over the reins now for U of A football as the go-to quarterback. He split some time, got some time with Khalil Tate, but now he's the guy. And, you know, one of the few times you're going to hear from him this spring was after earlier this week. And look, it's kind of as advertised. He's kind of calm, cool, and collected, as always. So a lot to get to. Let's kick it off with our rundown. That's brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And with this rundown, as I said, a lot going on. Coyotes, you know, trying to fight for a playoff spot. Another event that is really interesting to me this weekend, the Dream Gap Tour, is coming to the Valley, and that is partly through the Coyotes, but pretty much it is the Professional Women's Hockey Player Association. They're going to compete in three exhibition games, and it's going to be, if you guys remember, the women's national team in the Olympics and various world championships over the years, Kendall Coyne, Amanda Kessel, Megan Keller, some of the names that are going to be here. So some of the biggest names in women's hockey will be here this weekend at Oceanside Arena, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. On the 8th, they're actually there are two exhibition games on the 6th and the 7th, and then on the 8th, the PWHPA All-Stars are going to be playing Coyotes alums, which include the likes of Shane Doan, Ray Whitney, you know, those types of players. So a really cool event happening as well. So a lot of cool stuff going on. I'm going to be out there this weekend kind of checking that out. I know Devin is going to be living at the racetrack this weekend, providing all the NASCAR content. Make sure to give him a follow if you are a racing fan. With the Phoenix Suns, they dropped another game, and now DeAndre Ayton leaves with an injury. We saw Kelly Oubre get hurt. We've seen them kind of literally limping to the end of this season, and now DeAndre Ayton, he had a he was on crutches in postgame. He went to the locker room under his own power, had a noticeable limp. He had x-rays, but we don't quite know the status of that right now. And really, like, it's tough to evaluate this team because, yes, they have improved from last year, but, like, it's kind of improving. How do you improve from really crappy? I mean, for lack of a better term, we know what we have in Devin Booker. Like, he is a star and going to be a superstar. Last year, you had DeAndre Ayton in a first year, still figuring things out. Now he's in a second year, I think still continuing to figure things out. But you've seen those flashes of the 17 rebound games that he you know, can have. The difference is you have a true point guard now in Ricky Rubio. Kelly Oubre you know, was an addition last year and had a big spark. And that you can sense the spark he has continued to have now that he's injured. So it's tough to evaluate this team. But by that same token, every team is dealing with injuries right now. So it's one of those things where, like, yeah, you
It's tough to tell where the improvements need to be made necessarily because they have been so injured recently, but also that's just part of the game. You can't really deal with that. So Suns continuing to try to push through. Interesting article here from Pro Football Focus. We've had various members of that organization on our show over the last couple of years because they do they quantify everything in the game, and they do a really good job of finding those pieces and mixing and matching. It was really funny last year, actually. The Arizona Cardinals had one of the best drafts according to Pro Football Focus because they were taking all the guys that were highly ranked by Pro Football Focus. And it was one of those things where it was like, was it to the point where like Steve Keim just like popped open Pro Football Focus and looked at best available and was like, all right, we're going to take that guy. Like that seems how it almost worked out because you had Byron Murphy, who they ranked very high in the top 10. He was a second round pick, various picks as they went down. Brandon Allen, the defensive tackle from Boston College, he was a highly ranked guy. They were kind of taking everybody about 20 picks higher than, ranking-wise, they were taking those, actually, I guess, 20 picks lower than where they were being ranked by Pro Football Focus. But interesting article here. They said, with free agency around the corner, what could the Cardinals be doing? Wide receiver has been brought up a lot. And it's been brought up, get Kyler Murray a weapon other than Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, which I think he's really developing into one. You don't really know with Andy Isabella kind of what he's going to be. Hakeem Butler could be that big-bodied option for you, but he got hurt before things really got going last year. So where could he be going? They suggested Robbie Anderson, the New York Jets wide receiver, as a potential free agency option for the Arizona Cardinals. And this is what Ben Lindsay had to say. He is a part of Pro Football Focus, and he writes for ESPN as well. But he said the Cardinals aren't the first team that comes to mind for Anderson, but it's a fit that makes a lot of sense for the Cards and for the 26-year-old wide receiver. The Cardinals need a reliable field stretcher and top option with Larry Fitzgerald set to enter next season at 37 years old. Anderson fits that bill, having hauled in 37 passes thrown 20 or more yards downfield since 2016. That's 11th at the position, despite shaky quarterback play in New York. The bonus for Anderson is that he will get to play with Kyler Murray, the last season's number one pick, who ranked 7th in the NFL in passing grade on throws of 20 or more yards downfield as a rookie. Look, they've talked about, Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim have talked about the option of having a guy that can, just blow the top off. And they need one of those guys in the offense. Could they use draft capital on that early on? Potentially. I've said before, I think, if CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy are there, you certainly consider them. But I feel like there's a lot of other needs in this draft. Robbie Anderson could be an option. And the thing about wide receivers also, look at like DeAndre Hopkins. He was the 27th overall pick. Look at a guy like Antonio Brown. Yes, there's been a lot surrounding Antonio Brown off the field, but with his on-field production, like a 6th-round pick, there can be wide receivers you take later, maybe potentially next year. Let's say Cardinals improve and are picking 15th to 25th next year. I think that's a pretty reasonable range as to where they could end up. 25th is definitely the ceiling, I would think. But somewhere in those, 18s to 20s, you can still go get an elite receiver with that draft pick. But finding an offensive lineman, finding a guy like Isaiah Simmons or Derek Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, those could be guys that you really can't find if you're picking mid to late first round next year. But where you are at 8, you can grab that, maybe grab another option at wide receiver the following year. Who knows? It's one of those things now where I'm looking at mock drafts and seeing certain picks and things like that. And it's really kind of, I'm not really sure if I'm happy or I don't know if that's the right move necessarily for the Cardinals. Again, a guy who has a lot of background building rosters. But it's one of those things where it's like, You know, they take CeeDee Lamb, and it's like, okay, that would be, you know, good for Kyler Murray, but Isaiah Simmons. Or they take Derrick Brown. Yeah, that'd be great for the defensive line and probably a really big improvement against some pretty good offenses in this NFC West. But what about Jerry Jeudy? I'm kind of at that point in the process, and that's really bad because it's March 4th. We have another, like, 7 weeks of this before we get to the actual draft. But as free agency comes, we will see where, you know, some of the additions are made, and that can help kind of form some opinions as well. Coming up next, we're going to talk about more of the latest, the Diamondbacks, maybe a little bit of recruiting before Devin talks to Vince Welsh, a Fox NASCAR and college basketball announcer as well. That's all coming up next on the Brad Sessmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm on hosting duties today. Devin Henry here in a little bit. He'll be talking to Vince Welsh, Fox NASCAR and college basketball announcer, FanShield 500 here this weekend. A lot going on around the state, whether we have high school basketball wrapping up with their state championships. Real quick, just a shout out to Eric Sorensen. Usually we kind of split up duties with state championships. I've been working on some things here behind the scenes and kind of getting some things in order. And Eric really took over all the state championships, and those are really fun weeks because it is, you know, what a lot of these athletes have worked for to try to get that state championship ring. But it's also some very long days and days that can certainly beat you up. So, Eric, appreciate you, buddy, for, you know, kind of handling that, and our intern team as well for kind of helping out with that as we, you know, Devin's working on the NASCAR side of things. As I said, I'm working on some behind the scenes stuff. So appreciate him taking that over where he really didn't usually have the help that he usually does to kind of make sure that those stories get told. But he did a great job with that. So appreciate him. Now for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Madison Bumgarner will be taking the hill today for his second start of spring training as the Diamondbacks kind of get going. What can we learn from start number two? I don't think that much, but that being said, Madison Bumgarner, I think, in a Diamondbacks uniform on the hill is going to be must-see TV for the, at least this season. You know, as, you know, he is the new ace. He is the one who, you know, the Diamondbacks kind of put a lot of eggs in his basket to make sure that they could lock him up. Zach Greinke kind of had that role a little bit, but you can already see Madison Bumgarner really trying to be the leader of this pitching staff, talking to those guys, being very vocal about the young talent in this rotation. And, you know, when you have guys like Robbie Ray, who's and Archie Bradley, who at the beginning of camp, when they asked who was the one you were looking, you know, who's the player you were looking forward to meeting or talking to or seeing, without hesitation, it was, oh, Mad Bum. Like, we want, like, this is a guy with World Series credentials, multiple World Series credentials, and he's going to be the leader of the pack this year, on the pitching side, at least. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, just him on the mound and the buzz around the building. Yes, it's spring training. I don't take much account into the stats of spring training. Look, this is preseason. Everybody has their own kind of process that they go through. Zach Greinke, as we saw each and every year, he'd show up a little late. He would, you know, go through his process. He'd get his two innings in here and there. But most of the time, he was ready to go for opening day. And that's kind of the approach Lovello has taken with Madison Bumgarner as well, where it's, you know, we're going to slow roll him. And, you know, there are certain things that Toria would get asked about starting Mad Bum later in spring training, or, you know, he didn't throw a bullpen this day. We thought he would be. Why is that? And it's just like, yeah, he has a process and we trust him. And that's there. So I think that's kind of going to be the way it is for a lot of these veterans. They know the process. They know where their bodies need to be and kind of where their mind needs to be once opening day hits. And not everybody goes about the same way doing that. It's going to take some different approaches for certain guys. So the fact that certain players are struggling right now, that the Diamondbacks aren't scoring many runs, I don't care. It's preseason. These aren't real, you know, big league lineups necessarily. These are guys that, you know, there may be pitchers that are working on certain things that are. We watched Trevor Bauer a couple days ago give the glove signals of what he was going to throw to the batter. You know, like this was essentially a bullpen for him. That's what this is for a lot of these vets. So, if he gets blown up and shelled today, I'm not going to take much account into that. If he, you know, goes in and throws two or three perfect innings, I'm not going to take much account into that. It's certainly a optimistic feeling if he does go ahead and do that. But it's, again, it's all about feel for these vets and kind of learning the process and getting to that point for opening day. But I'll be out there at Salt River Field checking out his start. Looking forward to kind of seeing him for the first time, at least for me in person, you know, with that Sedona red on and what that's going to be like and how he's working with the catcher and that sort of thing. So a lot of cool stuff going on here in the state. Coming up next, Vince Welsh, Fox NASCAR and college basketball announcer, will join Devin Henry. Talk about the FanShield 500. A lot of racing going on here in the Valley this weekend, and Devin has you covered on that. That's coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show.
Well, NASCAR is finally back in town. It's time for the FanShield 500 weekend at Phoenix Raceway. Devin Henry here on the inside lane and joining us to get ready for all the action. Three big races in March. He is the Fox play-by-play voice of the Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series, pit reporter for the Xfinity and Cup Series, and a longtime contributor to the racing community. From Carmel, Indiana, it's Vince Welsh. Vince, thanks for joining me, man.
Happy to be with you, Devin. Looking forward to the racing this weekend.
It's going to be a fun weekend. I know that you guys have had plenty of fun weekends far on the west side. You had some voice loss issues in Daytona. You got red eyes every single week. How healthy are you coming to Phoenix? It's early in the year. Usually most athletes, they get injured late in the year, but so far it's been a tough start of the year for you guys.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just had a bad cold, got a bad cold in Daytona, and it settled in my throat, unfortunately. And, you know, you can deal with feeling poorly, but it's tough to deal with not having a voice in our business. So, you know, I didn't feel awful. It just, the cold just settled right there in my voice, in my throat, and I just didn't have any voice. So that was a struggle, obviously, and then, but you know, I made a turn for the better about the Thursday of that next week, and felt a lot better in Las Vegas, and then of course this past weekend in California was good, and looking forward to Phoenix this weekend. It's one of my favorite trips. I love coming out to that racetrack, and been coming out there for a long time, back in the IndyCar days, and even when USAC used to run out there in the old Copper Classic days. So it's one of my favorite stops on the circuit, and I'm looking forward to getting out there this weekend.
Oh yeah. So much fun when Silver Crown used to come out to town. They had a little spurt there for a little bit, but, still waiting, hoping one day we get IndyCar and Silver Crown to come on back over here. But looking at this weekend, a lot of new things. It's the first time that we're going to see the new rules package for short tracks, quote unquote, for this 1 mile dog-legged oval, but we have new tires as well, higher grip, but also higher wear. What's kind of the expectation coming into this weekend for the teams heading to Phoenix and also knowing it's a championship race in November?
Yeah, I think that, you know, those are all good points, Devin. I think that, you know, the package itself of the higher horsepower, lower downforce, similar to what, you know, they ran there in 2018. So I think that the teams have a general idea of what to expect. You mentioned the tire wear, and that's really something that the drivers and the teams have really been fighting for over the course of the past several years. They like a tire that wears out, not blows out, but wears out. And when that happens, you really got to take care of the tires during the course of your run. Some do a better job at that than others. So you've got comers and goers. And during the course of your fuel run. So, I think that worked out pretty well last weekend in California. We'll see something similar, I think, this weekend at Phoenix. They also put the traction compound down again this year for the race this weekend. That'll be a little bit lower down into the groove, which I think will play a little bit more of a role than previous. And, you know, I don't think anybody really knows 100%. I mean, you never know 100% what you're going to get. But, you know, I think there's some guessing involved in regards to what it's going to look like this weekend. But I think that's a good thing. And it keeps the teams on their toes. And, you know, you got to be good at making adjustments on the fly and making sure that you get your car right in practice. So, you know, you're at a good starting point when the race rolls. So, there's a lot of challenges in a weekend like this.
This is the first time since 2001 since NASCAR actually races at the championship venue earlier on in the year. And I know, obviously, you as a pit reporter, if you go out and ask the crews, are you taking notes in case you're in the championship four later this year? They're just going to tell you, hey, we're just looking at this weekend here. But with that focus, how do you think some of the workflow might differ knowing that this is the championship location and you might just have the same tires and also the same traction compound on that track?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's no question that, you know, that has everyone's attention. You know, the fact that they're going to come back here and race for the championship in November. So there's, you know, there's no doubt about the fact that, you know, this is an important race for that reason. You know, the teams will evolve a lot between now and then. You know, that's, you know, I think I saw maybe 250 days, you know, in between races. So there's a lot of development in the cars and in the simulation, different ideas and so forth. The weather, you know, never know what it might be like in November compared to what it's going to be like in March. So, you know, there will be some different variables in play when we're back for the, you know, when they're back for the championship in November. But there's no question that, you know, you'll take that data that you had and you gleaned in March and you'll pour over it again when you're getting ready to race in November. And not that it'll be identical, but you'll still, that'll be valuable data for all these teams to scour before, you know, they get ready for the championship race.
Chatting with Fox pit reporter for the Xfinity Cup Series this weekend at Phoenix Raceway, Vince Welch. Looking more at the track itself, $178 million in renovations and modernization at Phoenix Raceway. Someone asked me, hey, what's new there? And I said, literally, they only kept one building up, and that was the little canopy where the old Cup garage was. Everything else was dirt between races. How important is it for the sport of NASCAR to have venues doing things like this to help the fans come out to the racetrack?
Well, I think it's critical. You know, I think that, you know, and you see that in every major sport. You see the stadiums, you know, new stadiums being built, renovations being done, and we're starting to see that more often now on the NASCAR side as well. Obviously, Daytona had a huge project. Richmond has had a significant project. I think what they've done in Phoenix is phenomenal. When I mentioned earlier, it's one of my favorite stops and on the circuit, and certainly what they've done, you know, with their renovation there has only enhanced the experience for the fans, not just you know, in the seats in the grandstands, but also in the infield, and made it more of a fan-friendly environment. And that's what I think all that you're going to see. The tracks are all going to have to lean that way because the fans expect more now. You know, they go into the NBA arenas that are so nice, or the NFL stadiums that you know, that cater to the fans more specifically. And I think you're going to see that on the racing side now too, where the venues are going to make changes in their infrastructure to be more fan friendly and to give the fans more to do besides just sit in the stands and watch the race. And I think the folks at Phoenix, you know, with that racetrack, have just hit it out of the park. It's a beautiful facility, and they really did a fantastic job.
A little bit more on you, a very versatile play-by-play announcer. You did many different sports when you were at WNDY. Did you call it Windy? Was it called Windy?
It was Indy TV. Yeah.
Indy? Gotcha. Well, multiple play-by-play sports, tennis, basketball, football. You've done a ton. you also do college basketball in the off season, and there's times when you're doing three races in a weekend, not always doing the same position, doing play-by-play or pit reporting. How do you keep everything in order in your head when it comes to preparation? And I'm sure that names occasionally start to mix and match sometimes with all the names that you got talking about.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the more you do it, the more natural it feels. You know, last November, I did the truck race there in Phoenix, and then I had to take the red eye and do a college basketball game the next day for Fox. So, you know, from that perspective, it's challenging, but more than anything, it's just a matter of having your preparation done in advance. You know, when you've got you know, got two or three races, the case this weekend, I've got the Xfinity race on Saturday, I've got the Cup race on Sunday, and it's so important to get to the track and already be prepared in regards to, you know, what, you know, having as much preparation done as possible when you arrive. And then that way you can focus on the task at hand once you're at the track. And then if you get thrown a curveball, you're not playing catch up because you don't have your prep work done. So, you know, for us during the season on the racing side, you know, I think it's more of just a constant preparation. You're constantly, you know, you get home from the racetrack on a Monday, you know, you unload your suitcase and your work bag. And I think different people do it different ways, but I always transfer some notes that I want to keep from that previous weekend's race that I would possibly use moving forward. Then on Tuesday, we have a conference call, and, you know, a lot of prep work is done on Tuesday. You're constantly reading a lot of the things that have been written about the previous weekend and about the weekend coming up. And on Wednesday, you basically put the finishing touches on your preparation that you can do in advance. And Thursday morning, you go to the airport and fly. So, you know, I think everybody has a system, depending if you've done it long enough in our business, and depending on which sports you do, you have a system for each sport that you work in. And you know, I think everybody, it's a routine, not unlike what the drivers or the teams deal with on a particular weekend. I think you'll find that they have a very specific routine in how they go about their business as well, a checklist in regards to making sure the things get done that are supposed to get done. And it's not, it's really not all that different on our side as well. So, you know, it can be challenging at times, but that's the fun part. You know, if it was easy, everybody could do it. And I think more often than not, we enjoy the times when we're challenged, because that gives you an opportunity to step up and rise to the occasion and deliver a performance that you'll hopefully be pleased with at the end.
So when you moved to Fox in 2014, obviously you spent so much time doing motorsports already, of course, at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, doing and announcing there and reporting across many different sports. But when you moved to Fox, how did the TV play-by-play opportunity come about? Because you hadn't really done any TV play-by-play, more like radio, you know, interns like we see with MRN nowadays.
Yeah, I had done a lot of play-by-play, you know, more at the regional and local level. You mentioned my time at Indy TV, and, you know, we did AAA baseball there, and we did the professional tennis, and, you know, we did a lot of different events. It was all play-by-play driven. So I'd had a lot of experience on the play-by-play side, not while I was at ESPN. At ESPN, I did college football, sideline stuff, and was part of the IndyCar and NASCAR crews there. So when I came to Fox, it was an opportunity. Actually, unfortunately, Steve Burns was supposed to be doing the truck series, but of course was battling cancer at the time and wasn't able to come to the track. And so we kind of, you know, took that the truck series play-by-play by committee. You know, several different announcers did play-by-play that particular season, and then ultimately Steve passed away, of course, and they had to make a decision moving forward as to who was going to be their truck play-by-play guy, and you know, I was chosen from the group that had, you know, had done that job previously when we were all just filling in. So it was a blessing for me to have an opportunity to get that chance and, you know, to work with Phil Parsons and Michael Waltrip, certainly in the booth during those years. And our producer, Mark Smith, and director, Roger Vinson, I've known for a long time. And so It's really been a great opportunity for me, one I enjoy. It's, you know, I get asked the question a lot, what do you like better, you know, play-by-play or pit reporting? And, you know, I explain it that, you know, I like steak and I also like seafood, you know, and that really is very similar analogy because they are completely different, but at the same time, you know, they challenge you in different ways, but they're also equally rewarding. So I really enjoy the opportunity, and I enjoy the chances when I get to do both in the same weekend. So it's, you know, I think as announcers, we all like to be versatile, like to have the opportunity to show our versatility, and I think that provides me the opportunity when I'm in the booth for trucks and then on pit road for Cup.
And who doesn't love some good surf and turf? That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy. And I wouldn't be able to end this conversation without talking about your son. His midget car owner used to race sprint cars against my father at the good old Manzanita Speedway back in the day. Of course, your son Dylan Welch driving for Arizona's own Chad Boat with Tucker Boat Motorsports. What is it like watching your son not only break track records and compete, not necessarily in the same branch, but in the sport that you cover, while at the same time also doing your profession as well at MRN as a reporter?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. You know, when he's racing, you know, I'm just dad. So that's extremely nerve-wracking to sit up in the stands and watch, you know, watch him, you know, race against competition that, you know, is you know, phenomenal. And it's amazing. There's so many great race car drivers in various, you know, grassroots, if you want to call it that, grassroots series throughout America, whether you're talking about open wheel or you know, more of the stock car variety. There's so much talent out there, and so few of those people get an opportunity to do it, but professionally or at the level that would be recognized, you know, in NASCAR or IndyCar or whatever the case may be. But, you know, it's thrilling to see him get to do what he loves to do in the race car, and it's been a great opportunity for him to drive for Tucker Boat Motorsports. And we've known the Boat family for a long, long time. In fact, the very first quarter midget we ever purchased when Dylan was just 6 years old, we bought from the Boats. So we've known them for a long, long time, and it's kind of come full circle with him having an opportunity to race for Chad's organization now. So a great thrill for us, and Chad does a tremendous job. He and Corey Tucker do a tremendous job with their program. And then, as you mentioned, you know, Dylan also is on the broadcasting side, working for NBC on the television, in television, and then MRN on the radio on the radio side of things. So I think he's, you know, certainly challenged and in that regard professionally, but loves the fact that, you know, he gets to make his living by going to the racetrack and you know, just trying to get better each and every week as a broadcaster, just as he would as a race car driver. So it's a good opportunity for him to be in the garage and interview people like Christopher Bell or Kyle Larson or Chase Briscoe or Ricky Stenhouse, whatever the case may be, and you know, at the same time, you know, race against them on the racetrack at particular events during the course of the year as well. So it's been a good experience for him, and hopefully he'll continue to get that opportunity on both fronts.
You two just living the dream, man. I'm telling you, living the dream, racing and covering racing. I can't imagine two better things. Of course, Vince Welch, you'll be able to hear him all weekend long. FanShield 500 weekend at Phoenix Raceway, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. You'll be able to hear Vince on the Xfinity Ellis Tractor 200 and the Cup Series FanShield 500. Vince, appreciate the time, man. Appreciate what you've done for the motorsports community over all these years of broadcasting.
I appreciate having me on, Devin. Thanks a lot. And there's a lot of great race fans out that way, and look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
This was the Inside Lane on Sports360AZ.com. Be sure to keep it Sports360AZ for all your racing updates. There's going to be a lot of them this weekend. Welcome back on Sports360AZ. If I will, I'll kind of call it like an extended version of the Inside Lane today as we get ready for the FanShield 500 weekend. Just a quick few minutes on a few things that you guys need to know. Now, first of all, the guys from Arizona, J.J. Yaley, Michael McDowell, and of course, Alex Bowman, who has all the momentum in the world after his second career Cup Series victory coming at Auto Club Speedway in Fontana last week. And it was not just, I know Matt Yoakam said in victory or non-victory lane, but on the front straightaway interview about how it's not a fluke once you win the second. And I'm going, man, it's not a fluke when you dominate the race. 110 laps led, winning the race by nearly 10 seconds over the Busch brothers. That 88 car was hooked up, and now he doesn't necessarily have a great history of winning at Phoenix or doing well at Phoenix since he first subbed for Dale Earnhardt Jr. back in 2016 when he finished sixth and had a chance to win that race against Matt Kenseth. But he's won the pole there before in the 88 when he subbed for Dale Jr., and he had shown flashes of being able to drive well there. And while there was a large amount of tire fall off at Auto Club Speedway, I'm not too sure that that tire compound is necessarily going to translate feel-wise for these drivers when it comes to what is going to happen in the Fan Shield 500. So I don't know how much you can really compare to how much Alex dominated in Auto Club Speedway to how that's going to change things in Phoenix for him after a couple of outside the top 20 finishes his last four or five times at the track. So that's a little bit different. It would be great to see an Arizona-born driver come in and win a race at their home track. Only two wins all time for the state of Arizona, both coming from Alex Bowman last year at Chicagoland and last week at Auto Club Speedway. Another thing, if you're a big racing fan, or even if you're not that big anymore, but you love Jimmy Johnson, second to last opportunity to see him at Phoenix Raceway. One thing that I'm going to go and get video content of, because I was walking by, I wasn't recording, I was on my way somewhere, and Jimmy Johnson just so happened to be pulling in from his qualifying effort on Saturday at Phoenix in November, I should specify. And there was a herd of people. I didn't see this for anyone else who pulled into the garage after qualifying. A herd of people, because fans can be right next to the cars almost, cheering for Jimmy when he pulled into the garage after his qualifying run of outside the top 10. It's not about necessarily what he's doing now, which, I mean, he's on fire also right now, just a quick note there, but it's about what he's done for the sport, what he's done for the people who love the sport, what he's done for the people in the sport as well. So if you're going to be doing the infield experience on Saturday and qualifying starts, go to Jimmy's garage spot. And I'm going to be there for sure, because I want to see that in person again a little bit closer, because I grew up being a Jimmy Johnson fan as he won his seven championships, tied for the most in Cup Series history. So that's something where I'm going to be there and I'm going to want to see that, because it's just awesome to be there and see that and see it in person. So if you're a big Jimmy Johnson fan, this will be your cheapest opportunity in Phoenix to see him race or qualify if you're going on Saturday as well. And as I mentioned, different tire compound with Vince Welch, and also a new rules package. So this is going to be very different. Last year was high downforce, this year's low downforce. And so it's going to command a lot more on driver control and driver skill, which is going to be a little bit different than what we've seen the past couple of years when they tried to go, okay, we're going to go high downforce, so the car's going to be like on a rail, stuck down on the track and going. Well, it didn't create the greatest passing opportunities, especially at a track like Phoenix that's not really a short track, not really a track where you can draft with that high downforce package. So it didn't really work out all that well. And also, Vince also told me, which is news to me, I didn't see this out yet, but there's going to be traction compound on the track again. In November, it was more so just a good spot for lap cars to get out of the way. That's how it functioned. I saw Kevin Harvick trying to utilize it. It just didn't really, I don't know if it wasn't activated yet, because you got to run some laps on there, but once the lap cars got up there, no lead lap driver even dared to go up there while they're trying to get around all the traffic. So he also mentioned it'll be lower, more so in the group. So I'm wondering if that's going to help drivers kind of go, do I want to try this out, move up the line just a little bit? And that might completely change the way that this race is going to be ran as well. So a couple different NASCAR aspect things when it comes to this race to enjoy. But also, of course, it's just the fan experience at Phoenix Raceway, second to none. I think Talladega's getting pretty close, but it's in part because of how much room they have. But if you're doing the infield, you got to go and celebrate in Victory Lane with the drivers. If you want the cheapest possible experience, because I know that's how my family would have rolled, what's the cheapest possible experience to get everything out of it? Go on Friday night with the ARCA Menards Series. If you don't love racing right now, but you might later on, you're going to see names like Haley Deegan and Ty Gibbs and Drew Dollar and Chandler Smith and a variety of some of the young best racers in the world compete in an all-star type series. So this is going to be history, first time for ARCA in Phoenix, and also the first race of the Sioux Chief Showdown, or the Sioux Chief Showdown. Yeah, it is Showdown. Excuse me. Challenge was last year. The Sioux Chief Showdown for ARCA. So history being made with ARCA, and if you want a good experience going down and celebrating in Victory Lane, that's going to be a lot of fun on Friday night to celebrate with whoever wins that race. Of course, Michael Self being the most recent ARCA winner with his win in the Daytona 200 about 3 weeks ago. plan to check out, be sure to check out sports368z.com. Got some content going up about a little bit more of what you need to know heading to Phoenix Raceway this weekend or watching it on Fox. Of course, a big thank you to Vince Welch. He's done so much in the racing community, so much in the broadcasting community, and just an absolute pleasure to have him on the show today. So a big thank you to Vince for being on today's show and on the Inside Lane. Be sure to keep it at sports360az.com. We got all of your high school basketball championship coverage, 4A, 5A, 6A boys and girls state championships. And of course, for all you guys out there, there's been a lot of emails asking about this. All academic nominations are here for boys and girls wrestling, boys and girls basketball, and boys and girls soccer. So be sure to hit the website, sign up for your student athlete to compete, if you will, in our all academic nominations. It's not about what you do on field. It's not about what you do in the locker room. It's about what you do in the classroom. We do this by GPA. If you got a high GPA, throw it in there. See how it stacks up to some of your competitors. So that'll be a lot of fun. Always love the all-academic nominations here at Sports 360. Something really unique that we do here that Jordan Hamm helps head up. Jordan, of course, did the first part of the show. I'm here for the last part. Big thank you again to Vince Welch for joining us. Big thank you to Eric Sorensen, covering, I think, just about every single high school basketball championship that we had as well. And, of course, the big man himself, Brad Sesmet, who helps run everything here at Sports 360AZ. Be sure to follow me at DevinHenry77. Going to have some crazy content this weekend out at the racetrack. Plenty of interviews and plenty of discussions to be had when we're at the racetrack Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That'll do it for the Brad Sesmet Show today. One last time, I'm Devin Henry. Thank you for joining us today here on the Brad Sesmet Show.